Absolutely. I'm going to shift gears on us tonight to see what I can do more on inspiration as I go along. I thought it would be good to ask some questions tonight. Do you consider yourself an evangelical? Do you practice evangelicalism? Do you know the gospel? Sometimes I wonder about labels that we sometimes like to ascribe ourselves or combine ourselves to. Labels can make you a target. Labels can invite all sorts of things that may not sit well over time. Labels can change meanings, in other words. Can you quote a verse of Scripture if you were to find the need to witness? If so, you're probably an evangelical. Do you have a favorite verse you'd like? You've heard me quote 1 Corinthians 15:3 before, 3 and 4. But there's more to 15:3 and 4 than what I usually quote. We will deal with that tonight. But you can share the gospel by quoting verses of Scripture, which means committing them to memory. Well, what got me started memorizing verses and the importance of them in order to practice evangelicalism? I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I was being called by the world out there. But all the same, I became very much aware of my need to know Scripture adequately enough to be able to share it. It helps to share it from memory, but some people are fearful of memorization. You can also share it by knowing where it is in the Bible. Pick a verse, know where it is, and use it. Be able to use it. That's what witnessing is about. Those opportunities arise, and if you know the verse, you know where it is, whether you've memorized it or not, you have this verse in tow by chapter and book and verse. I got started on learning how important that was at camp with my kids. I didn't go to camp as a kid. Certainly not a Christian camp. I was a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. Most I remember spiritually doing in the Boy Scouts was the little brown church in the woods singing around the campfire, you know, but that's as far as they went. But my kids grew up doing a camping ministry that was organized by a man named Dr. Ray Stanford. Michael was involved in that. This is Ray's book. It's in our library. It's a handbook on evangelism. In this book is a list of verses that the kids, over time, over the years, learned to memorize. And they had to do this in a competitive manner to where they got points for memorizing verses. And they competed against each other. Each verse had a different value of points to which they would put towards their team and other events, sporting events, as well as service events. How well they kept their cabins was part of that. Dr. Ray Stanford was a founder and president of Florida Bible College. He's passed now. And He has a list of verses in here early in the book that number, I picked 10 of them out for the most part. There's way more than that. Let me see if I can find, I should have marked the book. But I picked 10 of those verses out. This is an updated version. These are both in our library. I think we can get copies of these if you would like them. They give you all sorts of situations in which you may find yourself find it necessary or advisable to share the gospel with someone of different faiths or different denominations or what to expect from those people and what they believe compared to what we believe. Also, we have these tracts that are available. Why do I mention this? Well, there's some verses in this, too. This is a quiz you could carry around in your pocket. And in here are several verses that are on my memory verse list of 10 that you could use just out of hand if you don't memorize. Also, our meet and greet brochure on the table there as you come in is what we believe on one side inside, if you've not seen this before. And then God's plan of salvation is in there as well. And there are way more than 10 verses here. Some of them are some that I chose from the list found in Dr. Stanford's book that you could use and call from. Then later in our, as the kids grew up, more recently, the church came up with the gospel in 21 words. It's a laminated card you can carry around in your wallet or in your pocket, along with the quiz. It's about pocket size. And it's what this shows and what you may discover when you prepare your own list of verses. I happen to see in some offerings such as this a progression, an order in which the verses could be given. This one starts very basic. You're a sinner and the penalty's death. Jesus paid that price. You can have everlasting life by believing in Him. Three simple statements. Of course, that's quoting Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, and John 3:16. Who doesn't know John 3:16? If you're a sports fan, used to be at a football game when they were kicking the extra point after a touchdown, there was always somebody in the end zone holding up a placard, John 3:16. I think there were some complaints about that, and I haven't seen one in quite a while. I think wherever this occurred, I don't think it was the same guy over and over, because the games were scattered across the countryside, all across the nation. But somebody probably said, no more placards going into the football game. And I think that's why we do not see, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's one of the very first verses kids learned at summer camp. That's the gospel. You can share the gospel in one or two verses. I happen to pick 10 of them. I won't go into all of those tonight, of course, but I plan to go through each one of them somewhat exegetically in the coming weeks. But I just wanted you aware of resources that if you're serious and interested in learning Scripture or how to use Scripture, these resources are available to you. My favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 15. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to kind of go about this in a little somewhat unorthodox way. I'm wanting to read to you. I said one verse, quoting one verse. Well, actually, there's actually two verses here that are pertinent. And then I got to looking at it a little closer. I said, oops, well, that's really more than two verses here that we need to keep in mind if you want to examine this passage exegetically or less than so piecemeal or less than so focused. Let's read that aloud here. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And verse 4, that's the second verse. That's the big oops. I usually say one verse. Well, there's two verses here we should look at. And then we'll find out that there are actually some more. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What about the oops? If you believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and if you believe that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you start reading the before and the after, this is minimal context consideration for any passage, is to read before and the after. We should really look closer to this passage in that manner. It was given to Paul, the apostle, by Christ himself regarding Jesus, number one, death, recorded as fact, according to the Scriptures, it says, his burial, recorded as fact, that's evidence of death, according to the Scriptures, and his resurrection, recorded as fact, according to witnesses that were there at the time. And the resurrection is recorded as fact because why? You don't find it in 1 Corinthians 15, but we know that as a fact because Christ did resurrect. He was witnessed by Cephas, it says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians, but and others, thousands in fact, and how many witnessed him going to heaven during the ascension? How many people witnessed that? Let's go back to verse 1. Like I said, let's go forward and backward again. First Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Paul is addressing believers who had already heard the gospel. Move over, brethren. Or moreover, brethren. Excuse me. I declare to you the gospel. This is him saying, well, here it is again, fellas, ladies. Which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand. Operative words there, received and stand. They believed because they didn't reject it. There's nothing here says that they've rejected it. Yet, we're going to find out what's the whole purpose in this book. Most of the epistles are written out of concern for those who have been witnessed to and have come to faith, they're now receiving false teachings. That's what we get in most of the epistles, is other than maybe Hebrews, but that's more of an order of worship book. But This is what Paul was really concerned about. He felt like, as we will find as we move along in the passage, that he had concerns. Which I preach to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, and by which also you are saved. In other words, he's telling them, you received it, now stand on it. Don't move from it. Don't let anybody convince you that what you heard from me isn't correct. Because I heard it from Christ himself on the road to Damascus. I'm talking for Paul. Back to verse 2. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Believed in vain? He's worried here. That's where the worry comes in and is evident. Paul's again declaring the gospel once more to these who have already heard it. And it's unchanged from his earlier preaching. The gospel hasn't changed, but apparently he's worried that their view of the gospel might have changed. Paul feared that their faith was challenged by these false teachers. In other words, questions were being called. Christ crucified for our sins? Christ resurrected from the dead? How can this be so? To reject the bodily resurrection, when you really think about it, would literally gut the gospel. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? And this is the message Paul faithfully declared to them as he received it on the road to Damascus and thereafter, before he actually became the apostle. He was never a disciple. The disciples who became apostles thought they had a conflict with Paul, but they settled it and accepted his road to Damascus conversion and welcomed him as an apostle. Believing the gospel means holding firmly, as he advocated in verse 2, unless you believed in vain. Do not believe in vain. There's nothing in vain about the gospel. Nothing to worry about there. These aren't the droids you're looking for, to borrow a phrase from the secular world. Holding firm to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is foremost in finality, for that matter, about the gospel. That's when you start to memorize Scripture, you keep that in mind. Keep that in the forefront of your witnessing technique. Death, burial, resurrection. Of course, God took the further measure by witnesses as well to the whole of the propitiation and redemption that was accomplished at the cross with the ascension of Jesus Christ. As I said, I claim to be an evangelical. I consider Lake Country Bible Church to be an evangelical body of believers. However, I also believe that adopting these labels, as I said earlier, can be a cause for concern. And I think as evangelicals, we should be prepared to witness, that is, equipped to share the gospel. That's up to you. That's a personal decision. Don't let memorization get in your way. Try it. There are some techniques to it. There are those that can teach it to you. I can help you do that. Pastor can help you do that. There are books that can help you do that. These handbooks I mentioned by Dr. Stanford. Equipped properly, we should acknowledge in giving the gospel presentation in an order or progression which can be observed as I mentioned on the laminated card, three simple declarations there to follow. excuse me. Of course, on the quiz, the opening line there is, am I going to heaven? If somebody that you run into, you could leave it on a table, you can hand it to people in person, ask them to read it, take the quiz for me, is what I always say. Take it out of my pocket. Take this quiz for me. I don't stick around because usually it's a commercial situation where they're working for a living and I don't want to take up their time away from their job. You don't know what's going to happen when they get the handout. Simply that you did that. Hopefully they look at it. Now, here's the key to witnessing. Never forget that the Holy Spirit is the one who precedes you, who provides you with the opportunity. This isn't something that's all on your back. Yes, you should be prepared. Yes, you should be equipped. Yes, you should practice the verses to help you understand the gospel better. Pick your verses. Pick them like I did, perhaps, in an orderly progression. We're going to go through what that progression is, but we're not going to study each verse tonight. We will do that individually in later coming lessons. What camp is 5 days of focused learning. This wasn't lost on me. This helped solidify my need or an awareness of my need to learn the gospel like these kids were fixing to learn it because I didn't know it. I knew about it, but I didn't know it. This is where I learned that there's an order and a structure to it. If you were to simplify the gospel to me then, I found out, as we saw on the laminated card, eternity is only for the righteous. God alone is righteous. Man is not righteous, unrighteous. God has a plan to declare us righteous. When I chose my memory verses, it turned out that Romans would be 4 of those verses coming from that book. First John would have 3. Corinthians 1 and 2 would have 2 verses, passages, if you will, out of the Corinthian books. And 1 Peter would have 1 as well. My suggestion tonight is review the list for your verses. There's only 2 books in there, and there's more people in this room than there are books. But start looking at gospel verses. Look up gospel if you have a library at home. Find out what the gospel is and how to search for verses. If you need help, you've got it. We can help you find those verses. But get on it. The day is coming when it'll be dark. It'll be night. There won't be an opportunity to share what you know, to share what you find out. No matter how elementary it is, start somewhere. Where did I start? I started with the verse that was read Sunday. This is the message we heard from him in declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. My second verse was, and just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And then in Romans, one of the second Roman verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most everybody in here, I think, knows that verse. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there's none that seek after God. This is making the person aware of their need for a Savior. You're building on starting with the light that is of God and the darkness that they're presently in. For the wages of sin are death. That's just a part of a verse. The full verse is, I didn't memorize the full verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then another verse that I have, one of the first John verses is, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. That's where it gets personal, not only with the non-believer that you may be witnessing to, or someone who's not aware whether they're a believer or not. They just don't know that they have to know Jesus Christ to be saved, to get into heaven, to be declared righteous enough to enter God's righteous heaven. Confession of sin is that. Confess that whether you know Him or not, and even if you do know Him, you can confess sin because you have to. Why? Because we're still sinners. We learned that Sunday, didn't we? We have to be able to do that. Otherwise, we lose fellowship. Sin can't enter the realm where God is, even for a believer. David asked forgiveness for sin. He wanted God to write, Your word I would hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I have sinned against thee and only thee, Lord. That's from David. That's Old Testament stuff. And then my favorite, one of my second favorites comes from 2 Corinthians, for He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is where God provides a substitute for our penalty, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We find that in, I think, the Gospel of John. And my final two verses that we'll be doing later on, 1 Peter 2:24, He who bore our sin in His own body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes are you healed. I'll never forget the time I saw the movie The Passion of the Christ. At the time, I was a believer, but I just never understood the graphic nature of what Christ went through. Wasn't something I ever really considered until I saw that movie. It took me a while to get over that. Still does. That's what Peter's talking about here. He who bore our sin in His own body on a tree. Cursed is everybody that hangs from a tree. Christ was cursed for us. We have to die to sin, even if we have to do it every day. His stripes healed us. Have you ever... I'd been told about what the whip was, the scourge. What was embedded in the scourge? Strips of leather that tore him apart on his back. Hopefully the next verse can settle me down. 1 John is another verse, one of my final verses. I'm still adding to this list. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life, and that you continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. There was a purpose. This is the progression you see. You move from the light that God is to the darkness that you are to the sacrifice that Christ is to concern that you have your faith and that you know what your faith is, that you know what your who your Savior is, who your God is, and where you're going for eternity. So in this series, I'm going to try to take each one of these verses. I've got one here in 1 Corinthians 8, but I'm not going to do it because I haven't worked on that verse yet. But I'm adding to my 10. You got to start somewhere. You start with number one. You can pick one out of Dr. Stanford's book if you have a favorite verse already. Memorize it. Favorite for reading? There are techniques to learning it. For me, it's writing them over and over and over again and checking them and writing them and getting them right. The difficulty factor for me presently is I learned these in a New American Standard Version, and I'm presently using a New King James. And sometimes there's some differences on the wording and structure. But I want you to consider whether or not you're an evangelical. Do you take seriously the label as it was intended? Whoever came up with the label, I don't know. I don't know whoever came up with that, but it's not important. The important thing is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you willing to serve Him? How best do you serve Him? By witnessing for Him. The night is coming when the work won't be able to be accomplished. I'll close this in prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that it's so plainly evident in Your Word. We thank You for Your Word, Lord, that it's truth. And that He who is coming, Your Son, our Savior, is coming as King. And written on His clothing will be, He who is faithful and true. Lord, we thank You for this, that He's coming, He's our hope, and we look forward to Your calling us away before these events happen, and which we will witness from heaven. Pray this, just thank You for this night tonight where we can gather in spirit, worship You, and learn of You. For this we give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.